Hello and welcome back to Commodity Conversations by the team at Mercado, the podcast where we keep you up to date with the latest trends, drivers and moves in livestock, grain and oilseed and fibre markets. My name is Olivia Agar. Thanks for listening into episode 271. I'm very excited to be joined by Mark Tully today. Mark is Nutrien Ag Solutions Global Market Research Manager based in Calgary in Canada, and we're going to be chatting fertiliser. There's been quite a few changes in the market with supply constraints and sanctions that have really shifted fertiliser trade flows. So Mark is going to share his insight into these dynamics, as well as the global supply and demand outlook for the balance of the year and into 2025. Before I bring in Mark, there have been some big releases of market news. The first being the announcement from the Australian government on the plans to phase out live sheep exports by May 2028. This is obviously a really disappointing decision. It's not just bad for farmers, but for the entire agricultural industry. Live exports are a critical sales channel in WA. It increases competition in the market and prices, but it also supports a really long value chain in regional Australia as well. Now, from overseas, the USDA released their first estimates of the new season crop supply and demand balance. Wheat consumption is expected to outstrip production for the second year in a row, which will push the stocks-to-use ratio to a 12-year low. Now, let's get into today's episode with Mark Tully.
Welcome, Mark. Thanks for coming back on to Commodity Conversations.
Yeah, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
No, pleasure, pleasure. We're really excited to have you on today, and I'm hoping we can cover off on all the bases of FERT today, so NP, NK, and I'm really hoping we can start out with a question on ammonium phosphates. And if I turn back the clock, Australia's really heavily relied on China as a source of phosphates, but this year we've seen a really large swing away from China to Morocco because of the supply constraints out of China and the countervailing duty on Morocco as well. And this has all changed the global dynamics. So do you think this is something that'll continue looking forward?
I do. Yeah. I think when we look at the global marketplace today for whether it's DAP or MAP or NPS type products, we see, you know, some significant shifts in the availability of supply because of some of these, you know, geopolitical decisions that have been made around the globe. And when we point to China specifically, with their, you know, growing focus on food security and maximizing production of all crop commodities in country, you know, with that increased usage of fertilizer as a driver for that increased production. And so they're limiting the availability of ammonium phosphate exports as well as urea exports. And that, I think, will impact some of those countries like Australia that have historically relied on those Chinese exports as a source for their phosphate fertilizers. I think that, you know, what we're seeing today is that there's swings within a calendar year from a Chinese export perspective. You know, as their season comes to a close, you know, their willingness to allow exports increases, but that timing may not mesh with the needs of an Australian grower. At the same time, we have seen Moroccan capacity increase over the last year. And so when I look at just the lineup of ammonium phosphates leaving Morocco at this first 4 months of the calendar year, it's up close to 1 million tons year over year. And so Morocco becomes a source of phosphates, I think, for a lot of countries around the globe, and including Australia. And that, I think, could be a trend that continues moving forward.
And I think that supply out of Morocco, you know, has been one of the reasons why we've seen a large proportion of the market fairly stable this year. And India's been a key driver of that as well. So how do you see that global sort of supply and demand balance into 2025?
Yeah. So I think, like, stepping back to what we've said about supply, one of the important things to keep in mind is I don't think China's policy is changing anytime soon, right? They're going to continue to restrict exports for the need and the growing need of phosphate fertilizer consumption in country. And so there's no one player in the marketplace who I think can replace the reduced phosphate exports from China. And so from a global perspective, I think that does leave the global supply and demand balance somewhat tight. And that's likely to continue into 2025 as well, unless there's a change in trade policy. I think as well, when we look to other places around the globe, we see, you know, sanctions against certain market participants, as well as other duties that are in place. And so that results in some shifting trade flows where, you know, historically some players may have participated in the past, and now they're transitioning to other markets to redistribute their supply. And so I think one of the big things we'll see is supply trade flows continuing to, you know, transition into different markets as we move forward throughout this calendar year and into the next one. But I think we'll continue to see supply tightness. From a demand side, we're still watching demand, I think, rebound, you know, back to historical levels. You know, markets need to digest that they're getting supply from different producers and watching how those supply chains develop. You know, it's not something that's a snap of a finger, and it takes some time, I think. And so I think it's still a market that's going to experience some, you know, pricing volatility as well as supply tightness. But, you know, over time, I think that will continue to smooth out as we add more capacity around the globe and we see those transitioning supply chains start to normalize.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I can imagine it would take quite a long time for those transitions to happen. So yeah, hopefully, you know, we're sort of moving forward and things do stabilize looking ahead. But Mark, let's switch to nitrogen now. And we continue to see a lot of volatility, as you mentioned there, still in the nitrogen market and the urea market as well. So do you think that's likely to continuing as well for nitrogen?
Yeah, it's always, I think, difficult to forecast the future, but it feels like one safe bet these days is that volatility is probably here to stay for at least the near term. When we think about the geopolitical environment that we're in and some of these global supply constraints that exist, but beyond that, even the energy market environment today as well, and how important that is for the production of nitrogen fertilizers. And so my view is that at least in the near term, there's likely to be volatility. And when I'm speaking near term, you know, the balance of this calendar year and potentially, you know, into the future as well, as we continue to experience some of these sort of black swan type events in the market and digest them.
That appear to be happening very often these days.
Maybe we need a new collar for the swan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nice pink. What about pricing? So, you know, N values globally, they're back to pre-COVID levels, dare I say, you know, normal levels, but we continue to see those supply chains operating in a just-in-time model. So with the volatility that's happening in places, do you think that's more risk on supply and pricing globally?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, when we think about prices being back to normal, you know, in many cases, nitrogen values are actually trading below their 10-year average, right? So, you know, they're even at a discount when we think of where crop commodity prices have trended. You know, we're recording this in the middle of May, you know, over the last couple of weeks in May, right? And so there's some, I would say even normal is probably a stretch in this market environment to some extent. But I do see the just-in-time model in many cases sticking around in the near term. We think about, you know, how the fertilizer supply chain works, and it goes from, in many cases, a producer to a distributor or retailer player, and then ends up at the grower. And so within the supply chain, there's a large period of inventory handling. And in today's macro environment, interest rates are at levels that we really haven't experienced in like 20 years. And so from that perspective, there's a big cost to carry that's changed in the environment. And then we talked about, you know, this new period of volatility that we're also experiencing. And so I think just from managing risk, we do see a lot of market participants just transitioning to that just-in-time style of purchasing and their behavior towards managing the supply. And so I do think that you know, trend is something that's very plausible to stick around for the near term for sure. And I think from at least a supply side, does that play more risk? It could, when we think about, you know, how we need to prepare for in-season use. If we're buying too close and we've got a tight application window because of weather, we could be in a position where the market feels short or tight. And we certainly have seen that happen in North America in the last couple of growing seasons in some of the product fertilizer products. From a pricing perspective, I don't know that it necessarily puts more, let's say, risk on pricing, but I think it potentially adds to the volatility. If we have several markets all buying at the same time because they've all pushed out buying for that just-in-time need, then you have a big swing in demand in a very tight window. And, you know, the supply chain may be forced to test itself to some extent, and that can impact pricing. So, you know, that's probably how I would view this environment today with the shift in buying behavior and how that can certainly impact the volatility in the marketplace overall.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We've certainly seen cases in Australia over the last couple of years where that risk has turned to, you know, supply shortfalls, and there has been that negative impact because of that system and that model that's in place. So yeah, interesting to hear, you know, your take on that, Mark. Let's turn to potash now. And we have seen a pretty big reset in values of potash, but at the same time, there's that portion of the market that still remains under sanctions. So what do you make of this?
You know, it feels to me like we're in a market that is more balanced than not today. We've seen some increased availability coming from former Soviet Union suppliers. We've seen their export pace pick up really in the second half of last year. And although in the first quarter of this year, it was, you know, maybe a little bit lower than it was to end last year, it's still higher than it was when we could think back to the first half of 2023 or 2022 levels. But I think it's been offset by increased demand. You know, the first quarter of 2024 was one of the strongest, you know, single quarters for demand that we've seen for potash in many years, and if ever. And I think that's, you know, created this sort of balanced environment from an S&D perspective, but certainly from a price perspective, we are seeing potash prices trade down, you know, even below their 10-year average levels today. And as we look forward, I think that, you know, the market still isn't back to where it was pre-sanctions or in 2022, right? We think of the market in 2021 as being, you know, somewhere around 70 million tons, and last year was, you know, just shy of 68 million tons. And so we're still sort of in this, I think, rebuilding back to pre-sanction levels from the demand side. And so although supply is kind of normalizing and we're seeing that demand pick up, it's resulted in a market that's just simply more balanced. And I think that's been the primary driver of that price decline overall.
Well, hopefully that keeps things running more smoothly throughout the supply chain as well, because I know those big ups and downs can be pretty challenging to handle. So if you're getting your crystal ball out, Mark, where do you think that sort of balance of supply and demand will be looking forward?
When we think about potash, and I think in this year, we've really seen, like I say, demand actually pretty strong to start this year. And as we look forward, we've got, you know, the Asian markets that need to start picking up ahead of their demand season. We see Latin American markets really starting to pick up as well in preparation for their planting season. So I think from the perspective of overall demand, I would remain that this year is still a constructive year. You know, my current forecast would be from that demand is going to be from 68 to 71 million tons in 2024. And so that would be, you know, like I say, a constructive build year over year. But from a supply side perspective, you know, I think the view is that it's still pretty balanced. And so I don't necessarily see in the second half of this year or heading into 2025 a dramatic change in, you know, the overall market's tightness or relative looseness to what we've experienced maybe over the last, you know, several months. But I think what is supportive is that when we look at prices today relative to where crop prices are, you know, potash certainly looks very affordable across the globe. And with better supply availability, I think that further adds to the constructive outlook I think we have for demand looking forward. And then as we look over to those outer years, I think there's the opportunity for demand to continue to rebound to get back to that trend growth level that we were experiencing pre-sanction level.
That's a very positive note to end on, Mark. You're a wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much for joining me today to talk through, you know, what you're seeing in the fertilizer market. And you were mentioning before that Canada's and your neighbors, in fact, are in the midst of seeding at the moment. So how's the crop looking around where you are?
Well, it's looking like dirt today. as in May, we're just putting the seeds in. Across Western Canada for a lot of growers. But I think, you know, generally speaking, it's a positive year for a lot of growers out here. We've had a little bit of a slower start to spring, but with that is because of moisture. And so that moisture is always helpful in the prairies to help develop a crop. So we're certainly looking forward to seeing how things develop in our local area and across Western Canada as things pick up this year. But overall, I think for many folks, it's people are optimistic and to see how this season works out for us.
There's a lot of that here on the East Coast too. So yeah, hopefully those conditions keep getting better in Canada as well. But thanks again, Mark. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, always happy to meet with you, Olivia. It's a pleasure to reach out to you folks down in Australia. So take care.
Thanks.